is up. It is me, George G. We've got another awesome episode of the Aligned Money Show coming your way featuring Joe Lopresti. He is the president of Arlington Wealth Management. He is the author of Exit by Design. He's helping business owners to successfully make the transition out of their business, to sell it to family members or to bring in family members, to sell it to somebody else, and to do it in the most efficient way possible that is going to economically benefit them, but also make sure that their employees are taken care of in the way that they want them to be taken care of, and they're paying is just the right amount of tax and all of that good stuff. We started out with two truths and a lie and closed with a powerful difference-making tip. I know that you are going to love it. Let's go. Joe, to get us started, give me two truths and a lie, please, sir.
Two truths and a lie. Okay. Well, let's see. I'm a winemaker. I'm ambidextrous. And I never broke a bone.
Nice. Those are excellent. Winemaker who is ambidextrous, who has never broken a bone. I just tried to write ambidextrous, and I think I failed miserably. So
yeah, I could hardly say it. So
all right. Winemaker, ambidextrous, never broken a bone. I am going to say that you like drinking wine, but you don't make it.
Oh, no, I am a winemaker.
You got me.
That's all right.
which one is the lie?
The lie is I never broke a bone.
Okay. How many bones have you broken?
Good question. I think I broke two bones.
Okay. All right.
Broke my wrist and a rib at one time.
Okay. Nice. Same time or different?
No. Different times.
All right.
The rib was more painful.
Yeah. How'd you get into winemaking?
Actually a family tradition. So, my father did it. My grandfather did it. So I do it now with, my family. I have three daughters. So they all, and when they can, in their various ways, chip in, mostly on the drinking part than the making part. But
there's an important role to be filled at every stage of wine. And so you say you're ambidextrous. Does that relate to writing and sports and everything?
So it's actually everything I do sports wise, swinging, I'm left-handed. So okay. Baseball, hockey, golf, I throw right-handed, I write right-handed, I'm right-hand dominant, but for whatever reason, I like swinging with from the left side. So I'm not too sure why, but that's the way I roll.
That's all how it shakes out. Excellent. All right. Yeah. Well, we're off to a good start. What is top of mind for you right now, Joe?
What's top of mind? I mean, I could take that on either something that's a little bit more in the news now or something that I think is more of a kind of a trend that's going to be playing out over the next few years. Which one do you think would be a better conversation?
Let's start with the trend.
The trend? Okay. So I think the trend that I see developing over the next few years, maybe several years, is a wave of baby boomer business owners that are going to have to pass the torch on to someone, whether it's someone in the family selling it, transitioning it to the inside, people that work with them now, whatever that succession or transition is, there's a huge wave of that coming. And I just feel they're not prepared for it or planning effectively the way that they should to optimize that opportunity in their life.
It's not as simple as just handing the keys to the next generation, Joe?
You're not selling a house. You don't just turn in the keys. It's a bit more complicated than that, George.
For sure. And is there a right way to do it? Probably a million wrong ways to do it.
Well, I don't know if there's one right way, but I would say that you want to be proactive in it. You want to design that exit, as opposed to having the exit just occur in more haphazard like. So that's a lot of what I focus on is, trying to get business owners, particularly the founding business owners that have been in the business for usually decades. And, they just don't like to think about it. It's their baby. It's what, they created this great business and they're very proud of it. They probably never really want to transition it out if they don't have to, but they know one day they're going to have to. So, designing a personal action plan is something that I think is really important, where you just start to consider all things related to a succession. Who are the potential buyers? What will they look for in your company? Who's the ideal buyer in your mind? Is it somebody in the family? Is it private equity? Is it a strategic buyer, a competitor, industry consolidator? What does all that look like? Will you have a role in the company afterwards? Most times, if you turn in the key and you leave, you're not going to get as good of a sale as if you have some role in the company after you sell or some transition period. So all those things, how do you want your employees to be treated during the transition? What will your life look like? You don't just go from working, 40, 50 hours, 60 hours a week, some of these founders do, to sitting in a rocking chair and sipping gin and tonics. So, what's that going to look like? And really thinking that through. A lot of my business owner clients, after they do sell their business, say it takes about 2 to 3 years to really feel like they have a normal life again, because it's a very psychologically, difficult period for them.
I start my day at I love sitting in coffee shops and doing a little bit of writing, and invariably people will chat me up and ask me what I'm doing. And just the other day, a gentleman said, "I just sold my business." I'm like, "That's amazing. What are you going to do?" He said, "I have no idea." And I just thought to myself, "Oh my goodness, this gentleman had better start thinking about what he's going to do, otherwise he's going to be really unhappy."
Yeah. So we try to get them thinking about that, well ahead of time. And that helps them shape their legacy. You probably heard the statistic, something like 80 or 85% of business owners regret the sale a year after they sell it. And that's because they just, they didn't think it through. They look back and say, I wish that I would have known about this, or I wish I would have known about that. I jokingly call that the dumb tax. They didn't know what they didn't know. And rather than saying, I wish I would have known about blank, we want them to know about it, so they can make an intelligent decision, and that's how they shape their legacy. That's how they exit on their terms. Because when you get down to the brass tacks of the transaction, it's all about the buyer. Right. I mean, they're the buyer. They're the ones that have to, take what you've created and now make it profitable for them. Right. And so that transaction part, the negotiation, going through all the due diligence and all that, it's going to be a lot about the buyer. But it's that pre-sale planning where you design the exit that you want. So that's one thing that I see happening, around the country, right?
That's really interesting. I don't know that I had heard that within a year or so, 80 to 85% of people that sold a business have regrets about it. But now that I hear that, it doesn't surprise me. And that must take so many different forms. Essentially, everything you laid out, like maybe they felt like their employees aren't getting treated as well. Maybe they wish that a son or a daughter or a family member would have taken it over. Maybe they wish that they'd done more work preparing so they could have gotten more money. I bet there's such a huge list of things you can feel regret over.
Yeah, absolutely. That the tax planning part of it is a big one I often hear, where They find out from somebody else who sold their business that worked with an advisor that helped them through a tax mitigation strategy. And they say, boy, I really wish I'd have known about that. I'd have a lot more money in my pocket. So all those things are part of the pre-action plan, personal action planning. So our goal when we, you know, when we're working with a business owner is to try to eliminate that dumb tax. And we never want to hear them say, I wish I would have known about blank after the fact.
I've been listening to the new biography of Elon Musk, and whatever you think about Mr. Musk, what he has done is extraordinary, just with all these different businesses and going through adversity and everything else. And the work that it takes to start a business and to make it successful is an incredible thing. So for an entrepreneur to be doing it and then to think about selling, that must be so hard because it's been so close to you and it's been such a, maybe the biggest part of your life outside of family. And then you think about moving out of it. You don't want to make a mistake and you're so busy. How much of it is just creating some space to be able to think about these things?
Yeah, that's a big part of it because, you know, business owners are busy and, you know, they're head down in the day-to-day operation, or when it comes into the exit part, they're, you know, so focused on that transaction that they just don't do a lot of the pre-sale planning that's required. And that's not just on the business level. A lot of that flows over into their personal wealth planning. You know, I don't know that business owner you met at the coffee shop, you know, he hasn't figured out what he's going to do with his life. I wonder if he's figured out what he's going to do with the money, you know, and a lot of business owners look at it. Well, I'll get this money and then I'll figure it out later. Well, you miss a lot of wealth building opportunities if you don't plan that out prior to the transaction. So I think it's pre-sale planning from the business side, as well as the personal wealth side. The advanced tax opportunities that come along with that are plentiful. And that's where, you know, leaving wealth on the table for your family happens when you're not engaged in that pre-sale planning.
You think about it, you spend a lifetime building and growing a successful enterprise, and then to think about just selling it and paying a dumb tax of 1% or 5% or 50%, which I'm sure you've seen / heard of, that to me, it's sad and there's just no reason for it. But meanwhile, in the real world, you know, why do we resist doing this kind of planning? I think we could all universally agree that it's a good idea.
Well, because you've never done it before. Right. I mean, business owners do what they do. Many of them at least have never sold a business before. So they don't know. They don't know what they should be doing in many cases. And that kind of filters in then to your advisors. You know, what I find. So I'm a wealth manager. Right. And I work predominantly with business owners and blending in their personal wealth planning with the business strategy and the advanced tax planning. And, you know, I would say up until several years ago, I worked very much in a silo, right? I was more in, started in the industry as more on the investment specialist. And I was the client's investment specialist, right? When it came to taxes, I didn't have anything to do with it. When it came to wealth transfer planning, I didn't have anything to do with it. They had an accountant. The accountant, you know, talked to them on the tax level. The attorneys talked to them on the legal level. The insurance talks to them on that level. Their financial advisors, everyone's giving them siloed advice. Nobody's reaching across the professional lines and collaborating with each other. And that's really where the synergies start to develop. Is in that collaboration amongst your advisory team. So I very much advocate for working with a proactive planning team that's communicating with each other, and you're creating more synergistic opportunities that way.
That makes, again, that makes a ton of sense. And I can see where if you're working with the wrong advisors, their ego would get involved, or they'd be worried about losing the relationship, but they bring somebody else in. And that's to the detriment of the business owner, because to your point, you can make a couple of small mistakes or a ton of big mistakes or whatever. It's just going to minimize, you're not going to have as successful a transition as a sale.
Yeah. And if you work with a team that already has that ego's already out of the way because they're already working together and collaborating, they're, you don't dealing with as much of that where the ego's getting in the way, where, a financial advisor could bring a tax strategy, right, as part of their tax planning to a client. They tell them to go talk to the accountant. The accountant doesn't know anything about that. So they say, I don't know. This doesn't, I don't think that this is a good idea. That's just because they don't know it, but it doesn't mean it's not a good idea. So the accountant kind of feels like they're losing control a little bit, or the other way around. Whereas those barriers are down and, you're working with a proactive planning team, you're talking with your accountant. Usually the advisors you communicate most closely with on an ongoing basis are your accountant and your financial advisor. Attorneys, tend to come in only as when needed type of thing, insurance the same way. But the accountant and the financial advisor specifically should really be in communication, collaborating on strategies, know what the client, know what the business owner's trying to achieve. And this doesn't have to be taken just on a business owner level. It could be for, any individual family, higher net worth family for sure, could benefit from working with a proactive planning team.
So in terms of, I imagine that this is when you engage with a business owner, it is a process and it can take, is there a typical time frame? I'd love to learn more about what the actual process looks like.
When we engage with a business owner, there is a little bit of a process, but we try to make that easy at the beginning. So I mean, you could do a deep dive and spend hours and hours trying to really uncover every single thing that they want to achieve, in the business life and the personal life, pre-sale, post-sale, all of those things. Where we find it to do like an initial diagnostic that is high level and just uncovers the big picture opportunities, and then that helps us get to what's the highest priority here. What are they the most concerned about now? And let's start making some progress on that. And then we could always dive in deeper as the relationship builds in the other areas.
Got it. I think that makes a lot of sense. Are there typical top priorities that you get, or is it really all over the board?
It could be all over the board, but let's just as an example for a business, let's say, they don't have the right buy sell agreement in place, right? And that's a big risk. So we want to make sure that's reviewed. It's going to do what they actually want it to do. They think it's going to happen, kind of stress test it. And maybe that needs to be redesigned, for example. Sometimes they're concerned. Almost everyone has a tax reduction concern. Everybody wants to reduce their taxes. They all feel like, they're paying too much in taxes. And oftentimes their accountant will say, listen, you're paying the smallest amount you can, but really what the accountant is saying is I'm reporting what you've already done. And you're paying the smallest amount you can on what's already happened. That doesn't mean that we can't proactively plan for a better outcome, right, in the future. And that takes proactive planning. And that's a big difference. Everyone, I think that most people feel they work with a, let's say a CPA and You know, they're taking care of them very well. And most do a wonderfully great job of keeping them out of trouble, all the compliance work and, you know, keeping within the guidelines of, you know, of the rules and regulations. But a lot of them don't really think of their job as tax reduction specialists. And it's a different, it's a whole different mindset. So that's where I think a lot of business owners in particular, because they have the business level of taxes and then they have their personal level of taxes. So there's lots of opportunity to reduce taxes with advanced planning. They read about how, you know, Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk, who you brought up earlier, you know, they pay like 8% of their income in taxes or something like that. And they're wondering, well, how is that possible? You know, I'm paying 30 or 40, depending on, you know, state income tax. So they hear about how business owners are able to do it. But those guys have, they have family offices. They have a staff of tax attorneys, accountants, you know, they have their own office of people that are collaborating and talking every day and just for them. But, you know, most business owners, small business owners can't afford that, right? It's just not economical to have your own family office. But having a proactive planning team is like having a mini family office. Mm-hmm. And then what we do is we also work in a virtual family office program. So we have access to, I think there's about 75 niche experts that span the array of, you know, advanced tax mitigation, risk mitigation, wealth management, legal services, business advisory. So if there's anything that's outside of that proactive planning team's, you know, area of expertise, we could bring in an expert. You know, think of that as kind of the special team, you know, player, right? We're the first team. They talk with us regularly and we're solving probably 80% of their problems. We're providing solutions for most of their concerns. But then we could recognize, oh, this client could really use that strategy, but we need to bring in another expert to provide that solution. So it's a family office experience without the expense of a family office.
What a great advantage to bring in an advisor like you or like somebody like you're talking about early on. And that way you're able to grow. And instead of getting to the end of the finish line where you're ready to sell your business, then trying to engage with a professional advisor, it'd be way better just to be working with somebody along the way. But that just is what it is, Joe.
Yeah.
Love it. Well, you've given us a lot, but we're ready for that difference-making tip. What do you have for us?
Difference-making tip. Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to, again, stick with the business owner theme of what most of our discussion has been about, and that is to know what I call your sellability score. And that is how a buyer is going to look at your business, and they're going to more or less score it, right? And buyers focus on specific metrics that go beyond just making money. And they're most likely much different metrics than the way, you know, a business owner measures their business today. So, you know what those are. You know, we kind of boil them down to about 8 key metrics that are important from a buyer's perspective. And then we have a way of scoring each business owner on each of those 8 metrics so they could see where they stand and benchmark that against thousands of other businesses or even businesses in their industry. They could see where they're strong, where they're weak. Then they could work on strengthening those weak areas, because if you bring those weak areas up a little bit, even to just average, the value of the business goes up and you'll end up getting more money eventually for the sale when it happens.
Well, I think that is great stuff that definitely gets a come on. Joe, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I enjoyed the discussion. So I'll give you 2 websites. One is a book that I just co-authored. It's called Exit by Design. And that is exitbydesignbook.com. So you could grab a, you know, any of your listeners could grab a free ebook version there, or if they want the audio version. And then my company website is arlington-wealth.com.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Joe your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas, go to exitbydesignbook.com. Take advantage of that offer. I mean, I know that so much of what we've been talking about today resonated with me and just really drove home the importance of doing proactive planning and just getting started with it so you can minimize, hopefully, down to zero that dumb tax that too many of us are paying. And we've worked so hard to create these awesome businesses. So a little bit of planning goes a long way. And then go to Arlington dash. Give me the website again.
Arlington-wealth.com.
See, I was talking about you being ambidextrous and being able to write left-handed. I can't even read my handwriting right-handed, Joe. Arlington-wealth.com. Again, exitbydesignbook.com. If you are a business owner, you know somebody, or you're in a family of business owners, you're interested in helping that transition to go as well as it can, get in touch with Joe. Thanks again, Joe.
Thanks, George.
Finally, a friendly reminder, there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.